So good. Oh man, hasn't this been an amazing couple days? Last night was so good. So good. I just feel that love of God. And man, how many of you know it's one thing to come to give, but when you get, you know, Jehovah Sneaky, you get those and suddenlies, and you're just like, you don't want to preach, you just want to spend time with Jesus. Who loves to just get lost in His presence? Who loves it? Richie was talking about dreams, and my wife's a violinist, a musician, and her whole family are musicians, and one of my dreams was to see her thrive in baby season. You know what I mean? Actually see dreams not just put on the shelf, but how can we create a lifestyle where she can thrive while we're actually in the fog, the favor of God, the family of God. You know, young babies, the fog, favor of God. You know the fog. How many of you got children under 5 in here? You know the fog. Yep. Come on. It's awesome. And, we built her a music studio. Me, Nathaniel, he interned for me last year. He's awesome. I would joke because he's a contractor, carpenter, electrician. And I'd say, you're interning for me during the day, and at night I intern for you and we build. So I'll buy the tools, you show me what to do. And we built this awesome studio, but part of the secret plan was a secret place where I could get away. We have a rental on our property, and we've got students, we've got a student in the house, and I just love to get away and spend time with the Lord. It is so life-giving. I'm going to read this over you guys, and then we're going to do a little activation this morning. Say activation. Come on. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready. I'm going to preach you happy. Tell them that. Tell them, I'm going to preach you happy. So it says this, Romans 1:16, we all know it. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed. Just say that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Say it again. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Just say that. Just say it to the atmosphere. Just say it again. Say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Power of God unto salvation. I want to talk to you this morning. We're going to talk about some practical things, and then we're going to hit. We just felt this thing of I'm going to have the team come up and share some of the things we do in our world that I hope causes a stirring in your heart. Yes, we're doing Hope Fest, which this is amazing. This is like a dream come true for me. I'm like, God, I've dreamed about artists and athletes and musicians and impacting campuses. One dream I have are individuals like the Steph Currys and the other ones that are bold about their faith, that one day after an NBA game, they'd say, hey, anybody that wants to stay around and hear why I'm so hopeful and where my hope came from, you can stay, and in 30 minutes, I'm going to come out and share and talk to you guys, and we have a team that will pray for you, maybe some other team members. And how amazing would that be, that every stadium where there's a sporting event, they had some after thing, and the players actually took the opportunity to see eternity impacted. All of eternity. I think about that. My cousin played for the Seahawks, and he would tell me, you know, the NFL stands for, he says, NFL, not for long. Meaning injuries, trades, you get hurt, and it's just like, it's 5, 7, 10 years. But what an impact individuals can make in those years. And so pray that way. But they're going to share some testimonies, and I hope it stirs your heart to, from this event, stirs your heart to take ownership of your city on a whole nother level. How many are you actually from Pullman? Raise your hand, or Moscow. This area. Praise God. How many of you came from out of town? Give me a little wave. Praise God. Come on. It's awesome. Yeah. I just want to declare this over you guys. It says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So I'll say this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you because He's anointed you Just take that in for a moment. The Lord has anointed you. He didn't just pay a price for us to get saved, but He actually sent a part of Himself. He sent the Holy Spirit down. He's anointed us. He has perfected, He has equipped us to do exactly what we need to do in this time. And Lee and I were chatting yesterday. You know, I shared out of John chapter 4. And he brought up this key phrase in John chapter 4. And my heart today is this. I've been personally stirred and not struggling, but like God, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for more. I'm hungry. We have over 130 outreaches. We mobilized 2,500 students, and sometimes I get so caught up in the wave of this big ship of moving students and getting them equipped and mobilized and activated. I tell people my job is like this. I say, if you were a musician and you loved your instrument, but most of your job, what you did is you cast vision to other musicians or people that were learning how to play music, you planned events for people to play their music. You talk to people on how they can play their music better. But at the end of the day, you would run out of time and you're like, oh, do I have time to play my instrument? And that is the struggle of a lot of evangelists. That's the struggle. You think, oh, they're an evangelist, it's easy. I'll tell you what, there's an intentionality and a focus that has to happen. And I know so many people, Chris O, my good friend Ben Fitzgerald in Germany, and many others, that we have to be extremely intentional. Because, you know, whether you have storms in your life or you have favor, like, you know, you have to steward both those, and you have to stand in one and stand in the other. And it just gets the busyness of life. And what it is it's Romans 8:14, where it says the cares, riches, and pleasures of life can actually choke the seed out and not let it come to maturity. And so whether you're a business owner, whether you're a farmer, whether you're a school teacher, we all have to be intentional about our hearts and how we steward this gospel. In John chapter 4 again, I love what Jesus says. And I pray this stirs us this morning, because I'm hungry. Say hungry. What did Sean Smith say? He said he said it like with that little Oakland twist. He's like, hungry. You know what I'm saying? Like, hungry. I love it. How many of you guys have loved Sean? I've been challenged and stirred, and I'm like, isn't he an amazing communicator? I'm like, oh, so good. But in John 4, it says this, that the disciples said to Jesus, but he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And in verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. And so there's this reality that Jesus was actually nourished. He was fueled by doing the will of the Father. And Lee was telling me, he's like, so many people get, like, they get stirred and they get frustrated. I don't feel connected. I don't feel like I'm fulfilled. I don't feel, and they're actually not giving out. They're not pouring out. They don't have a reality of the Father's heart, that Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. And when we do that, it actually feeds another part of us. It says, how many of you guys have went out and done ministry and you're tired and you leave just as refreshed and excited as the individual that you minister to, right? And it's just this supernatural thing that happens that says, when you refresh others, yourself, you'll be refreshed. How many of you went out before and you're feeling great? You got worship music on and you're all stirred. And then about a couple hours before you go out, all of a sudden you feel a swirl and you feel panic inside. You feel like, oh, I feel like I don't have anything to give. And all this swirl. Have you ever felt the swirl? That means it's going to be a good night. So I want to encourage you, the devil's playing his hand right there. And there's so many things that we would equip people and teach people about, you know, just step back and realize whose we are and who we are and what we have to give and carry. And so today I want to talk a little about some practicals. Then we're just going to have the team come up and share some stories that just, I hope, stir your heart. But again, what I've seen in our culture is, we can prophesy, We can pray for the sick and all that's important. And that's my story, man. When I got saved, the guy that I got saved at his house, his wife had been ran over by a car. And she was told she'd never have kids, pelvis crushed. She was all messed up. And when he got saved, she got healed and she had three kids. I mean, bones crushed, everything crushed. And they're told it was completely impossible. She gets saved and healed. So he starts telling me that. He tells me how his son walks on water at a young age. He tells me all these miracles about his kids. They had an ant infestation and they commanded the ants to stay off their property and they stopped. And I'm just saved. And count to the love of God, and he's telling me all these stories. He actually shuts the Bible and says, here's a key. You've heard this. Don't get caught up in trying to figure everything out. As you're learning, he shut it and said, and he read the Great Commission. He said, now go do it. He said, go do it. So we're freshly saved. He's telling us, we read, you know, stuff about raising the dead and all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, go do it. Go do it. Now, I want to give you context for this, right? I'm freshly saved. We're driving with me and a couple other buddies. And we're like, man, we're looking for anything that we can pray for. We're just stirred up. And I'm like, we're driving down the road. And what do we see on the side of the road? We see a dead raccoon. Freshly saved. And we were like, hey, we can pray. If God can heal a body, why can't he heal? And I don't know what we were thinking, but I mean, it was pancaked, fur missing. And I'm like, this is streaming. Should I share this story? Bethel doesn't condone this. No. And freshly saved, we get out of the car. My friends look at me like, man, you kind of said it. You go pray for that thing. And they're like, no faith in the atmosphere. But we're like, man, if he can do it for them, why can't he do it for us? And so we reached down. I didn't touch it because I was like, man, are they have rabies? I'm like, that's where I am. But I'm like, God. And so we pray for it. And guess what happens? Nothing. But we were set on this journey. And of just seeing God move. And my heartbeat was this reality right here. It's Acts 4:13. I should remember. Oh, here it is. Highlighted in green. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter, John, and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and realized that they had been with Jesus. And Jesus said this, what did he say? He said, follow me and I'll what? I'll make you fishers of men. I remember years ago, Chris O opened a door for me and it came from serving. My whole role at Bethel came from serving, going and serving somebody low. And I could share hours of stories of just serving and serve so hard and push somebody so hard that I created an unknowing vacuum to where I tried to push him into his dreams. And when I did that, what happened was I got sucked up into this reality of like, he's like, I can't manage all this. I'm stepping into this. And they hired me on. And that's how I got my job. And so it was this amazing grace. So through that, Chris opens a door for me to go do a school of evangelism with Reinhard Bonnke. And it was just 100 of us. And it was a dream. And I got a crazy story about that. Chris's dream was to actually connect with Reinhard. We were in Chicago. Chris also opened a door for me to film we did a film with Furious Love or the Finger of God movies. And I could share a whole story reel about failures too. I think I'm on the extended version B roll of, I tried to preach in a subway and man, everybody looked at me like they were going to punch me. And then I was like, tried to point out a person and I was like, hey man, God. And he's like, don't you talk to me. And I'm like, well, he loves you. And it was just this awesome, awesome experience. But Chris, of rejection, right? How many of you know that it's still not rejection? It's not. Kingdom success is very different than worldly success, right? Kingdom success is stepping out in obedience and taking a risk with faith. We don't know the outcome, but when you plant seeds, you don't know how God's going to water those. So I'm going to finish this story about Reinhard, and then I've got a cool story about a guy that traveled with Reinhardt, did crusades with 30,000 people in Mozambique, and we stay with him every year when we go to South Africa, their family. So I'm with Reinhardt, and I'm like pinching myself. I'm like, God, I remember when I laid down my dreams. I closed my website, I shut down stuff, and I was like pushing hard to be a voice in Stuart. And I just said, it felt like God said, lay down your dreams and serve somebody else. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I'm with Reinhardt. Chris has opened up doors to travel, and I'm just like, the dreams that I had on, we do a dream list in our environment where we write down 100 dreams. I just remember checking them off like, boom, boom, boom. And I'm like overwhelmed by the goodness and grace of God to see things happening at an accelerated rate. But as I went low and tried to push other people into their dreams, it's like my dreams happen faster than I could ever try on my own. So I'm sitting at lunch with four other people and Reinhardt at the table, and he's just, there's only 100 of us in the conference, so we'd eat lunch together, and he's like, God is the maker of men. And I'm like, man, this guy is like 70 something. He had the straight preacher to lunch. It's like no different. It's just fire. He's like, and it was just this phenomenal thing that he started to talk about, how God, when you follow Jesus, he makes you a fisher of men. And this reality of us learning how to fish. And like I said, that verse in Proverbs 11:30, those who win souls are wise. That word wise, if I can't emphasize this enough, it's skilled. And if we can imagine we're getting this toolbox filled, well, I can give prophetic words and evangelize. I can pray for the sick and evangelize. But what I've found is sometimes we get the hook in the fish and we're just not fully sure how to reel in the individual that is like, ah, I'm loving this. I encounter God. And it's like, I've seen many times, even I've been guilty of it, of stumbling through the foundations of the gospel to communicate them. And it's not that they're not in us. It's that I don't feel like we exercise them enough and express them enough, and they get buried in us. And sometimes we have to undig them so they're fresh and alive and active. And so somebody was telling me the other day that Smith Wigglesworth would challenge himself to go out and share the gospel. Obviously we share the gospel with our life. We share the gospel when we bring the power of God. We share the gospel when we bring the presence of God, and we shift atmospheres and we give prophetic words. But there is something about being able to articulate the gospel that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and he died, and we just lay out the gospel of what he did. And like Richie was saying to this Muslim yesterday, that when you hear those words, that faith fills your heart, and it actually, it removes things for people to actually step in. And just seeing people step into the kingdom from us articulating the gospel, articulating the word. Reinhardt, one of his right-hand men, his name's Peter Vandenberg. He's one of my heroes, because I noticed some things. I was like, Peter is like, he's the one that, Reinhardt's the visionary, and Peter's like the one that makes things happen on a whole nother level. And Peter's like the peacemaker and going out, and he's the strategic man that has helped move things forward crazily. And Peter said he'd go out and he would survey the thousands. They'd have millions of people in their crowds. You guys ever seen the video of Reinhardt where they millions saved? I always show them when I do YWAM videos. I'm going to show you a video today probably of South Africa. It's a fun one. But he said he was expecting people to say they're coming for the power. They're coming because they heard of miracles. What he said, most of the people were saying they came for was to hear the preaching of the word. Isn't that wild? But it's not wild, but it's wild. It's like, I grew up, they're like, go out and do it. So I get set on this journey, and I'm like, I am like determined to see people, especially in Western Washington where I grew up, where there's lots of, I wasn't scared of the gangster. I was having a hard time ministering to the intellectual. I'm like, you're one encounter away. I'm like, God, give me a key to unlock their heart. And I'm just gonna like, bam, take that. You can't rationalize. You can't logicalize, if that's even a word, the reality of this encounter. I'm like, take this ice cream and taste it. You know, Psalms 34, right? It says, taste and see that he's good. It's like if I can, people are one encounter away, right? They're one encounter away. And I've seen it so many times, but I've also seen areas where I'm like, I want to be able to walk outside and see a tree and be like, hey, do you see that tree? And be able to articulate the gospel from it, or see a stone on the ground. I have a conviction and a stirring, and this is the tension with my job, and I'm sure it's the tension with your life. Say time.
Right.
We need to get time to stop controlling us. And it's like, how do we own time? How do we steward our lives to where we keep the main thing the main thing? When we get to heaven, we're like, wow, you know, all we can bring is people. All we can do, it's yes, it's good to encourage the believers. It's good to have a healthy family, all that stuff. Like, that is the foundation of revival. That is the foundation of the kingdom. But man, if we're not winning the lost, if we're not taking this love, if we can't articulate the greatest love message of ever, it's like, and it's not that it's not in us. Like I said, it's that it gets buried. And it's like, how do we keep it fresh and relevant? So what I want to do this morning, we're going to do a little activation. Then we're going to share some testimonies and talk about some practical things. We've done it 45. Okay. Either way, we won't keep you long. But I do want to do this activation. And what I want you to do is find somebody next to you, and you're going to share the gospel. You can do this multiple ways. I encourage you to do it with your family. I encourage you to walk, you know, on in the woods and share the gospel. I encourage you to share the gospel in the mirror. I encourage you to preach yourself happy. I encourage you to preach so much that you're like, I just got born again. Like, my spirit's alive. Like practice sharing and articulating the gospel. It is not just for the evangelist. It is for all of us. And the better we can actually steward our skill set, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. It's like there's a realm of faithfulness that we have to carry. And it's an opportunity. It's not a burden. It's an opportunity that we get to carry this love message. And how is it that we would be the ones that would be the greatest articulators of this love, of this beautiful story? And so, what I want to do is I want you guys to break up into groups of just two, find somebody, and you're going to share the gospel to them. But here's the twist. You can use your testimony this time. I also like to use it to where we just say, you're going to find one scripture and you're going to share it. And here's the other thing. The person that you're sharing it to is going to give you the scenario. So it could be you on an airplane. It could be you walking up to a Muslim. It keeps it fresh and live. And it's like, oh, I can't just keep it cookie cutter same. It's like, oh, you're actually ministering to a mom who has three kids and she's stressed out. And it's like, how do you bring the gospel and share your testimony? We're going to do testimony this time. But I encourage you guys, practice it through bringing the word. Practice it through different things, like pick out an object in nature and share. How many of the parables came through nature? Things that are relevant to kids this day. Maybe there's things that are relevant to people at work that you can actually go, man, if I can tie in, you know, I work in the Silicon Valley, and if I can tie in how, you know, when you get plugged into the web, it's like you have information to everything, and you know, you could take the scripture and just, or the gospel, and just weave it in. If you can get creative ways to tap in and articulate it, God will breathe on that. Amen. There are so many times when we've done this, and then people come up to me and go, we did that exercise, and then I ran into somebody that was going through that and actually filled my heart with faith. And I actually was like, oh, I can do this. I feel like it's like what Sean said, exercise those muscles. I worked those muscles. And so find somebody, and the key is to make sure it's going to be a 2-minute gospel preach. So you're on a long elevator, right? You're maybe walking with somebody as they're walking somewhere, or you're, you know, we try to lead people at stoplights to the Lord. One time we were stuck in LA traffic, and we're like, man, no better place than to share about the love of God. People are irritated, frustrated, cutting each other off. Let's bring a different spirit. So there's all sorts of opportunities to take 2 minutes to share and articulate the gospel. Amen. So find somebody. Try not to be your spouse. I mean, it can because you guys can do it, but maybe somebody you don't know. And so, again, the individual that is sharing is going to get the scenario from the person that's listening. Does that make sense? Awesome. And if you guys are at home, so go ahead and find somebody, and we're going to give you 2 minutes. If you're at home, I encourage you to do this as well. Just find somebody, take risk. If you're watching online, I encourage you to stir up the gospel and find somebody to practice unearthing the greatest story, the greatest news ever. Amen. Right, the elevator is on the third floor. You're going down. You've got a few more floors to. Sow the seeds, release the kingdom. Oh, somebody just opened up the second floor. You got a little more time. Shakaraba. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, go ahead. Yep. All right. So why don't a couple of you holler out what your scenario was? What was that? A bus crash. Yeah, people in a bus crash. Gotcha. We had something like that happen once. That's awesome. What else? Philosophy major. Come on. Single mom, Walmart, three little girls, stuff on the belt. As I share these, you may run into these situations, and I feel like it can cause faith in your heart. Like, hey, I can do this. What was yours? 10-year-old boy. That's awesome. How about in the back here? Doctor's appointment. That's awesome. Couple more. At the park, three children, mom needing reconciliation. It's awesome. Isn't this fun?
Yeah.
Isn't there something about getting a scenario and not fully knowing, like, the situation that you're going to share the gospel with? You can practice this, like, hey, you're going to share the gospel to a Muslim in this situation, or hey, you're going to do this, or hey, and it flexes, it helps us to unearth the greatest message that we have inside of us. And that's part of the challenge is like, you know, you ever seen somebody, you practice shooting free throws, and what are you going to do? You're going to get better at making free throws. And so us just practicing many times, who's ever lifted weights in here? Yep. How many of you were really sore the next day? What happens if you actually stop lifting for 2 weeks and then you lift again? What happens? Yep, so you get sore all over, so you're like, oh, man, every time I lift weights, it's just hard and it's painful. But what happens if you keep lifting weights? You get stronger, and your body actually starts to crave it. You actually start to crave it. And that's the same with sharing the gospel. As you do it, if you just do it a couple times, you get a bad taste in your mouth, and you're like, oh, man, I'm just not good at this. This is for the evangelist. It hurts. It's just awkward. But if you keep doing it, you'll actually start to crave it. Your body, you'll start to come alive. You'll see hope fill people's hearts. You'll see faith come alive. You'll see somebody born again. And everything inside, you'll be like, this is what I was trained to do. I can do it. It's like, and I want to encourage you guys, if you're not good at it, some practical things. I'm going to have Miriam come up in a second, and she's going to demonstrate a creative way that she does it. But if you're not good at it, get around people that are. Find somebody. Find somebody in your church that is better than you at it, and just draft off of them. One of my good friends, who his name is Jason Chin, and he travels all around the world equipping people now in evangelism. And when he was a student at BSSM, he had a big Tahoe truck with rims on it, and he was all, you know, G'd out and just, he was the homeboy. He was cool, you know, had big rims on his truck. But when it came to evangelism, it was like he went from this cool line to a little kitty cat, like, you know, just terrified, fearful. And so what he would do when it came time to go to outreach, he would tell the team, and nobody knew this, hey, I'll meet you guys there. And so the team would go out and he'd go to meet them there. And what would happen is fear would hit him and he'd be like, I'll just stay and pray in my car. And he actually wouldn't go out with the team. And then he started to just ask, Holy Spirit, help me overcome this. I know this isn't who I'm called to be. And so Holy Spirit told him, just go out with the team and stand next to somebody. And then it went from that to just after they give a word, what am I telling you? Just give a word. And he just took baby steps. You've seen What About Bob? He just took baby steps and he literally stepped into a place where the thing that was opposing him was what he's actually called to step into as a destiny and a lifestyle to equip people into. So he travels all around the world now and does it. And it came from, he was actually terrified with fear and thought he wasn't good at it. But that is the lie of the enemy. And I want to encourage you guys that if anybody struggles with that, I just declare over you that you were born to bring the gospel and the good news. You were born to take what God had done and freely give it out. You were born. It doesn't matter what your profession is, where you are people in any arena, and they need the love and the clarity and the truth of the gospel demonstrated to them. Amen. So a big passion of mine, and we're gonna just do a couple fun things with the team here, is creative ways to do evangelism. And if you guys heard me yesterday talk about how do you unearth the gospel in you to where it's not the cookie cutter, you know, just run up to somebody, but it brings the expression of who you are through it. And Miriam on my team, she loves to dance. And so she did this dance at this, we did a youth conference down in LA, and she did this dance. I was like, man, that has got the gospel. Like literally after she got done with it, I just gave a charge like, hey, if you need to get right with God, and you're going to see it, but I want this to release something in you as you're watching it. God, how can I creatively release the kingdom? What can I do to release the kingdom? How can I creatively express your love and articulate it? So Miriam, why don't you come on up here? And, if they're ready to cue that, that would be awesome. Hey, give her a hand, guys.
and make them beautiful. Oh, you take broken things and make them whole again. Oh, you take broken things and make them beautiful. Oh, you take broken things and put them back together again. Oh, you take broken things and make them beautiful. Oh, you take broken things and make them whole again. Oh, you take broken things and make them beautiful. Oh, you take broken things and put them back together again. Oh, you take broken things and make them beautiful. Oh, you take broken things and make them whole again. Oh, you take broken things and make them beautiful. Oh, you take broken things and put them back together again. So I'll say come and go with me, go with me to the potter's house, and you best believe, oh, he'll make something good. Oh, he'll make something good.
I know he will.
Yeah, he'll make something good. Oh, he'll make something good out the dust.
So good. Can you just feel the presence on that? And it's not just, it's not even just a dance, but she's actually imparting. And it's like, how can we release the kingdom creatively? How can we do things creatively that touch a whole high school, or touch a whole retirement center? We're in retirement centers, or touch any arena. It's like, how can we creatively release the kingdom? I'm going to share this one story, and then why don't the team come up and you guys can just, I'm going to throw a little curveball at you, team. What's a creative way that you've released the kingdom before, that you've stepped out in a creative way instead of what we said earlier? And why don't you just release that over the guys, and then we're going to pray for you guys. But we're going after the high schools in Reading. I believe that the high schools are the key to the upper, middle, and lower class. It's like when I got saved, my parents got saved, the whole household got saved, the neighbors got saved, and I got this passion to see these kids that are in need of radical hope get touched, and it's going to turn our city upside down. And so we're like, how do we got favor with the school to actually preach the gospel once a week at lunch in two high schools. We preach the gospel. We invite kids. It's amazing. We've had over 100 kids in a club at once. We call it, guess what our name is? It's this cool revelation that we got about a name. And it's just like, God came to us called Jesus Club. And we love it because it's bold. We want it to be evangelistic. We want it to be, what is this club? It's a Jesus club. And then we believe to like make God fun, creative, demonstrate his love and his power. So we had this idea with some of the team of like, how can we touch the whole school? Because we're not allowed to go to the lunchroom like we'd love to, but we stay in the classroom. And we had this idea, why don't we actually on Valentine's Day get roses for all the girls? But let's do this. Let's actually, one of our girls had this gifting of calligraphy, just very good at it. So we had her make these beautiful watercolor calligraphy cards that said, you are beautiful. They said, what else? They said, you're treasure. You are valued. And it's all these declarations. And we got 400 of them made, and then me being the worker that I am, I'm like, hey, I got a great idea that I'll add to that. Let's get individual prophetic words on each of those cards. So the team looks at me like, hey, who's going to do that, right? I'm like, all the BSSM students. So we passed them out to all the different students, and like, we'd give like 150 here. And when there's 2,000 students, they knock them out like that. So we had individual prophetic words for all the girls. And so we're like, we touched the girls' heart. How do we get to the guys' heart? We're like, we got to get them food. So we got the guys. guys on Valentine's Day a bunch of food, and we got them ice cream, and we're like, you touch a girl's heart, you touch a man's belly. Those are keys to revival in a school, right? And so, it was cool because the school's like, hey, you can't actually give them out on Valentine's Day because you're going to compete with people that are selling roses. So we had to give them out the next day. And my baby, my little girl this year was born on Valentine's Day, which was awesome. And so, and my birthday's the next day. So I'm like going, am I going to have her? It's like, it's a win-win either way, right? And so the next day, my wife gave me permission after our baby was born to charge up there with the team. And, we had her mom down there. She was doing well. Baby was doing well, so charge up there with my son, and the team set up, and they give out roses, and there were so many girls, teachers, administrators, everybody. We had enough for everybody, all the ladies, lunch ladies, everybody, and they're just, it shifted the whole atmosphere of the school, and you'd see girls walking around going, I didn't get a rose yesterday. And it was like this kiss from the Father's heart. And we had guys, I was like, hey, did you get your mama a rose for Valentine's Day? And they're like, no. I'm like, you go take her a rose. And they're like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm like, you take her a rose. And they're like, thank you. And it was just this awesome end that just brought the love of God in a creative way and opened the hearts of individuals that wouldn't necessarily be open to the gospel. And so I want, again, as the team's sharing creative ways, I want you guys to go, God, how can I step out in a creative way and release the kingdom? Amen? Awesome. So here you go, Nathaniel.
Thank you. That's awesome. That day was so amazing with the roses. I helped out with that project, and at the end of the day, the bell rang, and I was there to pick up my sons. And I watched as these girls would walk out with their roses, and they were showing each other their rose. And then they would take their prophetic card, and they would show the other girl, their friend, their prophetic card. And they're reading these cards that each one of them had got. It was so powerful just to see how impacting it was for them as an individual. And so, you know, like Angela said, that creativity was amazing. And, you know, for me, creativity is really practical. It's really simple. You know, I've helped out where we would go into communities and just go to the homes and just say, hey, what is it that you need? Well, we need toilet paper, toothpaste. We need bars of soap. And we would find out what they needed, and we would get those supplies for them, you know, and give them what they actually wanted us to give them. And then we would go in and share the love of God at the same time. And so that's probably, for me, creativity looks practical. I do like to dance. I don't know if anybody gets saved when I dance, but I do like to dance. That's fun. So I don't know if I'm preaching the gospel. I'm preaching about my love for God, that's for sure. But yeah, that's probably my creativity. Yeah.
Good curveball. I was like, man, guys, what am I going to share? I usually just feel like I'm staying in my lane, but I just started thinking that I don't even think this is creative, but I realized this is totally me, and I don't know a lot of people who do this. You always want me to share that story. I'm sharing something else. Okay, at Taco Bell, I would just like share the gospel through the drive-thru, which was, it's just great. Back in the day, haven't worked there for years, so don't worry about it. It's real meat. You're going to be fine. 150 in like one day was like, that was the, I got permission. That's true. Like in the middle somewhere. And then they were like, and I was like, yeah, cool. But what they told me is I was like, somebody called in because they got really mad at me because I was sharing, like, somebody told me God loves me. They're really mad about that, apparently. And my boss was like, Solomon, you telling people about Jesus? I was like, uh-huh. And he's like, you can't be doing that. I was like, I got you. And he's like, well, if you think they're going to be mad, don't do it. I was like, awesome. Well, we'll do. So, yeah. Anyway, but something I love to do on the streets, I love to, and anywhere I'm at, I like actually make a lot of jokes with the people. I like try to keep it usually like really, really light. I was at Winco like a week ago in Reading, and I like walked up to the cash register person. I was like, hey, God's going to tell me the total. I didn't add it up. God's going to tell me how much it's going to be. And if I get that right, that'd be pretty cool, right? And they're like, sure. And I was like, yeah, I think it's awesome. And I was like, yeah, and God really loves you. And she's like, cool. I was like 30 cents off. I was so proud of myself. I was like, I hear God. But like just fun stuff like that. I love to like keep it light and just like make jokes with people. And it's usually, I find it to be like a great connector. It like just breaks down walls. People actually let you like have a real conversation with them when they don't think you're like, hey, can I preach at you for like 20 minutes? You just like keep it light. So that's fun.
That's awesome. All right. How many, I love to do treasure hunts. Is there anybody that's done treasure hunts in here before? All right, for those that, I'll just give a quick rundown for those who don't know what it is. So what you do is, basically we take the time, we go into worship, and we ask God for like a location, like what the person's wearing and what's going on in their life, whether it's an injury or maybe something personal that's going on in their life with family or friends. And so we'd write that down, and then we just go across the city, and we love on the city, and we'd be looking for these treasures, and we walk up, and it could be like something absolutely crazy, like, well, my first treasure hunt was when I was little. I wasn't even a believer. Absolutely insane. But I'm going to share a quick testimony of actually last year when we were in Reading. It was my first time doing treasure hunting in such a long time, really. And we're out, and I found my guy. And so we're in this, like, almost like this Walmart store. Like, it's a general store. And so I'm looking at him, and I'm like, oh, there's my guy. And my trip lead, or like my group leader goes, hey, before you go up there, make sure, like, go for words of knowledge, too. Like, I want you to try to get his name. So I'm over here, and he, like, down this aisle, and I go, hey, John! And he's over here. He goes, my name's Adam. And I'm like, oh, dude, what's up? And I go, shaking hands with him. And I look at him. I know he's my guy already. Like, I'm pretty, like, confident in this. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just buying candy. I said, dude, sweet, I'll buy all your candy for you. And like, cause at that moment, I really felt God say, hey, buy all of his candy for him. Like everything that he's getting in this store, buy it for him. So I'm getting with him. I'm also finding like, oh, now I'm stuck in this aisle with this guy. Cause there's like four people in front of us and there's only one lane open. And so I'm like, dude, Jesus just loves you. And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so then I feel God say, hey, buy all the stuff for people in front of you, buy all their groceries for him. And I'm like, huh, okay, God, like get the wallet out. I'm like, I'm going to buy everything by this time. So this guy, quick side story. This guy has a buddy and he's outside waiting for him. Both these guys hate Christians. They want nothing to do with them. They're really like, they've had people come and preach at them before. They want nothing to do with God. And what God was doing in that moment was showing more than just having someone preach at him. It was having someone just love on him in a practical way. And so I buy all these people stuff and he just looks like, why would you do that? I said, dude, cause God loves all those people, but he also he loves you and loves all these people too. And the guy's like, wow, really? I'm like, yeah. So by the time we get out to the door, I'm still talking to him. I said, and dude, by the way, there's pain in your back. You've had surgery there and it's been causing you pain for years, man. And it's causing trouble with your families because you can't work and your family's getting upset. And like, that's everything I had down on my list, guys. And he turns around and this time there's tears. And his friends can't even see. His friend's like being ministered by the rest of my group. And he's yelling at him. He's yelling at him. He's not having it. Yet his other buddy who usually yells at him with him is over here and he's being encountered by God. And so I go up and I pray for him. His back gets completely healed and he starts bending all the way down. He had surgery on it. He couldn't like bend down for like 3 or 4 years and he couldn't go to work because so he's living with his parents and his parents just recently kicked him out. So I prayed for him to find a job and I ran into him actually just like 2 weeks later and he actually got a job at like, it's like another general store. I can't remember. It's in Reading. I would love to remember it, but yeah, so just an amazing way, effective way to like communicate the gospel, and also just a practical like way to love on people too, like in the moment. And so, there you go.
I was in Mexico last year for one of my missions trips, and I think the biggest thing when I was in Mexico was like the language barrier because I don't speak Spanish. And so I was like, how is there a way I can speak most of the time, speak to people and share God's love, but not like speak. So one time we were at a hospital, me and my team, it was like 7 of us, and we're outside a hospital. We weren't allowed to go in yet. And then so we were just like outside hanging around, like talking to people. And then my trip leader was like, I want you to dance. He knew I danced, and he's like, I want you to dance. And it was like a big empty area, but there's like hundreds of people outside waiting in the hospital because it's like not a huge hospital. And so I go in the middle of the like parking lot kind of, and I just start dancing and there's no music or anything. I'm just dancing, having fun. Having fun is a big, beautiful way to just reach people. And then a lot of kids start coming, like just having the fun with me and dancing. And then some people are like staring, like, what is she doing? And some people are like, which if they're at a hospital, you know, kind of makes sense. Cause they're just like, I just need to go in there and that's like I'm ready to do. But once the kids start coming, you can see people like laughing and like smiling at us and like And it was this joy that we got to just release on people. And then after, we ended up dancing for like 10 minutes. And all the kids that came up to us, me and my whole team went to like their families. And I'm just praying for them and just being able to love them. So just like, yeah, just releasing joy and having fun and being able to do that in public. It's like, oh, I can, even especially in front of the hospital, like I can have fun even though it feels hard right now. And be like, love, love, love. So yeah, it was amazing. It was fun. But yeah, that's one of my testimonies in Mexico.
Thank you. So good. I'll share this one story in San Francisco. We were, again, did I share that about the fire tunnel in, on, Castro Street? So we had about, I will take anywhere from 40 students to 75 students down to San Francisco all at one time. And part of me is like, this is a great idea. Part of me like, what am I doing? A 10 car train going down. And, so we're partnered up with the church and they're telling us all these stories about how you can't do this. You're heckled out of this area if you try to share the gospel. And I tell my team, I said, respectfully listen, but just let it wash off your back like water on a duck's back. I said, don't just trust me. The gospel is easy. We just have to get one key from Holy Spirit. And so they listen, and we just like, I said, here's our goal. Let's get their leadership as whacked in God's goodness as possible. Let's just pray for them and get them so aware of heaven that they even forget what they just told us, right? And so we do. The team just goes after it. And they're just fiery. They're excited. They paid their way down there. They're like, God's going to show up. And so they get this one leader just so just enamored in God's love and goodness. And he gets this idea. He's like, when we go down to Castro Street, we need to do a joy tunnel. And they'd never done it before. And so we get 20 students on this side and they get down there, 20 students on this side, and they just continue to encourage each other and cheer like, hey, come through our joy tunnel. And so all of a sudden the team's down there and they're just having fun. You know, many times I've learned this, when you go out to the streets, if you take people you love and you have fun, guess what? You actually look attractive. People actually come up to us in clubs and like, man, what's your guys' name? How are you doing? I'm like, man, that was easy. They're jumping at us. They want what we have. And so we're doing this on the Castro Street, and I'm kind of helping the team watching, and I'm bouncing back and forth, and there's very passionate, expressive people running up and down the thing, and they're getting excited and they're just hugging. And many of my guys got kissed that day, and I was like, just take that one for the gospel, you know, kissed on the cheek. And they're just like, they're just loving people well, and just, hey. And what I start to notice is they're just celebrating, and we're celebrating lives. Like, God loves you, come through our joy tunnel, we want to bless you with joy. And that can sound kind of like, oh yeah, that's nice, right? That's cute. And oh yeah, you blessed them, but did it really do anything? And then I start to watch across the street, people looking in restaurants, people stopping over here, people walking and standing next to my team going, what are you guys doing? And they go, man, God wants to celebrate people and he loves people. And then somebody gets a word of knowledge, and I look, they're praying for somebody. Another person, boom, word of knowledge. And it's like people go through the tunnel and then stand around. There was this atmosphere. We started to shift the atmosphere of the whole street, and it's like the glory of God was just there. And there's people talking over here, yeah, I grew up in the church, I was actually a PK kid, and I got hurt, and I'm just done with the church. And we saw so many prodigals there, it was shocking. And so we're loving, there's tears crying down people's face, and it's like the glory of God's there. And in my heart, I'm like, I told you guys the gospel is easy to preach. It's like you just got to get creative. We can't walk up to people and just do the same thing the same way all the time. We have to tap into heaven and get keys. And so I want to encourage you guys, I believe God is going to release keys to you. That's going to create a lifestyle of evangelism that makes it fun. And remember this through it, that people are always people. They're never projects. And I know I'm not saying that to you because I think that you guys would think that. I'm just reminding us that as we've shared all these exciting ways, and you see somebody today and you run up to them, remember to shake their hand, introduce yourself. Hi, my name's this. Just practically connect with them, because a lot of times they're in between classes, or they're in the middle of things. Another great thing to do is just walk with them as they're going to their class and share the gospel with them. Then you're not holding them up and it feels like an inconvenience. And there's just little things you can do. If you're having a hard time stepping out, another thing you can do is write down a bunch of encouraging words and just take those and give them to the cash lady, the register lady. Like, just ask Holy Spirit in the morning, like, Holy Spirit, and don't second guess yourself. Write down things like, oh, I saw a lady with three kids, and you're like, oh no, somebody said that at the conference, I'm not gonna do it. And then you miss a lady with three kids walking because you second guessed yourself. You know what I mean? And so just have a childlike faith in this, and you'll see God move. There are opportunities all around us. I'm gonna end with this story, I think. I said that three times, I think. I'm gonna end with this. We had a guy the other day try to break into my friend's car. The car's across the street. It's 1 a.m. We're fixing my toilet. Praise God for home ownership, right? And we're fixing the toilet. He thinks the car is on the other side, or somebody owns on that side. So he runs into my yard and hides. We run out there. My neighbor runs out. He's got his gun in his pocket. He's like in his 70s, older man who's like spitfire. I'm like, we didn't see that somebody had broke into the car. I'm going to check in my doors, and I see a foot sticking out behind my garbage can. And I'm like, I just act cool, calm, and collective. And I walk back over to my friend. I'm like, there's a foot behind my garbage can. So we call my neighbor back out, and I'm like, so Ethan, what are you doing next week? And making it seem like we're just chit-chatting. And I'm like, formulating a plan. I'm like, I've been trying to minister to my neighbors. I've been trying to minister to other individuals in my neighborhood. I'm like, God, every opportunity is an opportunity to share your love. How can you redeem this situation? So my neighbor's like, he's like, you know, he's got his gun. He's ready. I'm like, that's the worst thing. I got a broken toilet. Then I get shot because he's trying to shoot the guy and he shoots me. I'm like, just seeing this scenario, I'm like, no, Lord, that is not your will. Right? And so I'm like, God, how can we redeem this? So I formulate a plan. I tell him, I'm going to walk up to the guy and I'm just going to connect with him. And so I start walking up to him and I go, and they're on kind of the middle of the street. And I did tell my buddy Ethan, I said, hey, just call the cops and just put them on hold just in case, you know, it gets a little hairy. Like, you can at least tell them to come. And I'm not like, call the cops. And I've done homeless ministry for years and had, so I'm not, this isn't a new thing, or, you know, people that are triggered and just struggling in life. And so I walk up to the guy, I'm like, hey buddy. I was like, hey, we see you over there, why don't you come on out? I was like, we don't want any confrontation, but why don't you come on out? And he walks out, and first thing he does is flip his hood, and you can tell he's kind of like, flips his hood and just starts beelining, and I just start following him. I'm like, hey buddy, you know God has such a greater plan for you than this in your life, breaking into cars. And I'm just following. I'm like, hey man, God loves you so much. What do you need? What's causing you to break into cars, man? How can we really help you? And I'm just like, God, and I'm following him, and my neighbor's watching, Ethan's on the phone, and the guy's just walking, and I'm just behind him. I'm like, man, God has such a plan for your life, man. You are so valuable. What is it? What is it that you need? And he turns around. He just has his head down, his hands in his pocket. My friend Ethan was like, he was like, oh no, Angelo, I was nervous. And he pulls his hand out and he looks at me and he sticks his hand out and he just goes, thank you. Thank you. And I saw deep into his eyes, 20-year-old kid. You could tell he's just broken, just broken on the inside. He just goes, thank you. And right there, I just go, man, God's got such a plan for your life. He loves you so much. And I'm just loving on him. I look at my buddy Ethan and I say, cancel the call. And so he cancels it. And I'm just loving on the guy. And the guy goes, cancel what call? You called the cops? I was like, yeah, man, I just wasn't sure how it was going to play out. I hoped it was going to play out good. And anyway, he gets a little spooked. He's like, they're going to come anyway. And so he starts to walk off, and me and my buddy are chasing him down. Just, hey, man, come to Bethel Church. I'm a pastor there. We'll help you out. And I'm just following him. And then I go back in my, we're like formulating a plan how we can find him because there's trails around. And my neighbor's like, he's looking at me. He's like, well, never seen something handled like that before. And he's just dumbfounded. And I was like, and I knew that I would minister to him somehow by just sharing the love of God through loving this man. But man, it really impacted his heart in a really significant way, how we cared for him. And he told me stories about how he has a real tender heart for broken people because he was broken once, like in a low income state. Anyway, it opened a door of communication for me to not just touch that guy, but to start to touch my neighbors. And what I'm trying to get at is there's opportunities and creative ways all around us to release the kingdom. And we can take what looks like an obstacle and it can become an opportunity for somebody. Today is the day of salvation, right? For somebody's life to be radically changed forever. It's all about how we steward and posture our hearts and bring the kingdom. Amen? Yeah. So I want to encourage you guys, put your hand on your heart. We're going to pray for you. And then we're going to have some fun today at lunch. Have some fun today out on the streets. And we are doing this Hope Fest, guys. This is so exciting. Thank you, Father. God, I thank you that your Spirit is here. I thank you that you're speaking. And I pray you to release creative ways for families to do evangelism. Creative ways for business to share the gospel. Creative ways for you to step out like you haven't stepped out in years and release the kingdom. I thank you, God, that you are the most creative being on earth and you have a new, fresh, creative idea every day. And I just ask, God, that you would release grace for people to step in and tap into that and be able to articulate. And I want to pray this for you, that you would see the greatest harvest in your life ever, that you've ever seen from this point on, that you'd see, if you've never led somebody to the Lord, that you would see 10 or 15 led in the next couple weeks, and that you start to see dozens of people get born again, individuals, family members you've been praying for get brought into the kingdom. And I pray that there'd be a radical shift in your ability to articulate and communicate the gospel that would flow out of you like living water, that would flow with ease and grace in Jesus' name. And most of all, I pray that you would find evangelism to be the most fun, exciting, and adventurous thing that you get to do in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Bless you guys.
Come on, that's so good. How good was that practical training? Hi, good. The Holy Spirit's the most creative person on planet Earth. He is our great advantage. And you don't have to fit in the box of Sean Smith or Richie Seltzer, but you do have to obey the Holy Spirit as a Christian. That is the expectation of a believer that loves Jesus, is that we obey. And so as you go, just listen and obey and have fun. Listen, this is so fun. We keep the focus. I love what Lindy said. Keep the focus on Jesus. He's the main thing. Love on him. And in loving on him, we love on his people. That's what we do. It's something that we get to do. And so go have fun today. You can practice drinking by self-control. How many people know that seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit? But joy is. And self-control is. Which means that when you're controlling yourself to be joyful, you're being more spiritual than when you're just sitting there, I don't feel like it, I'm tired. No, honestly, you can laugh on purpose whether you feel like it or not. It's legal. And if you laugh on purpose for 90 seconds, watch what happens. If you don't feel like it, you're just totally making it up. Which, by the way, you can't fake laugh. Either you're laughing or you're not, right? Even if you're just forcing yourself to laugh, watch what happens after 90 seconds, how your body begins to feel. They've done scientific proof that it literally releases chemicals from your brain into your body, like dopamine and serotonin into your body, and it begins to make you feel literally happy. And if you do this, it's like working out a muscle. And what happens is, I'm giving you a true tool. One of the best tools that you have is what Angelo shared yesterday. It's a core value that I learned at Bethel through Chris Overstreet. One of the core values of evangelism is joy. Now there's honor. Now there's love. Now there's presence. And another's power. So joy is probably one of the most powerful tools that you can use when you go out. Just be intentionally joyful and watch how attractive it is when people are just like, why are you so joyful? Like when you share the gospel, share it with a smile on your face. When you introduce yourself, share it with a smile on your face. Be intentionally joyful, whether you feel like it or not, and see what happens. So bless you, bless you, bless you. We'll see you tonight at 7. You can invite people tonight too. Invite them to Hope Fest. But also, if you feel led, you can invite them here tonight. I know that Sean Smith will preach the gospel, or me, or somebody. And there's an opportunity for people to get healed and saved tonight. So you can invite them tonight and to Hope Fest. So enjoy your lunch. Enjoy your afternoon. We'll see you tonight at 7. Yep, cards for Hope Fest. And where would they find them at? He'll have them right there as they go out. Cards for Hope Fest. Let's get rid of all these cards. The last thing we want is a stadium with nobody in it. So make sure that you invite as many people as possible. Oh, yeah. And the team, if you don't mind coming up as well, I almost forgot to do this, but can the Burning Ones stand up? I did a school of ministry, Pioneer School of Ministry in Calgary, Canada, called the Burning Ones School of Fire. And the reason behind that is fire always falls on acceptable sacrifice. And I believe that most of the people who change the world have an encounter with God. And so we set up the school 3 months for them to have an encounter with God, and they got blasted, all of them on fire. They travel with me. They met me in Montana and in Edmonton and all over the place. These guys are on fire, radical evangelists, and not only that, but just to share in the gospel wherever they go. So if you guys don't mind coming up, and you got the Bethel team up here to coming up, if you'd like to go with them, and Gerald, if you don't mind standing up, Gerald also is a lifestyle evangelist, and Lee. So if you want to, and Anthony is amazing lifestyle evangelist, and I know, Teresa, I don't know what she's doing though, but so I don't want to volunteer her, but if you want to join up with one of these guys or a few of them and go to lunch, sometimes this stuff's better caught than taught. So they're here to serve and to help activate people. So yeah, come on, bless you.
Amen.